Hey, everybody. I just wanted to give you a quick heads up. For about the first 20 minutes of this podcast, the microphones are a little bit goofy and you can't really hear Mike talk very well. I'm going to edit a little bit of that out and make it a little bit shorter for you guys. But if you can deal with it for that long, there's some really good stuff in there and after that. I hope you enjoy. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to
Superfly.
The Superfly Podcast.
Yeah, I do that too.
April 14th. It's Thursday, April 14th.
It could be misconstrued so many ways.
Or construed. I don't even know what that means. So, Mike, what's going on? Happy week. Happy Thursday. The NBA season is over.
Middle of the fucking week.
Middle of the week. Well, it's past hump day.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit past the middle of the week. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit today.
What do you got?
You should lean into the mic, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Distracted.
Well, okay, so we'll just kick it off with this. So last night was last night of NBA regular season. And thankfully, the Sixers are done. I don't have to watch them play anymore.
Yeah, how was that game?
Oh, it sucked. It was horrible. They went up by 24. They lost by 10, but they were down by 19 at one point.
I can't believe I chose not to watch it.
I should have tuned in. Wise man. But I did want to say a little bit about Kobe. I just wanted to mention that I have a friend, and you know him, David Kwan, who mentioned that Kobe was one of the greatest shooters ever the other day. And I said, yeah, David, he was a volume shooter. He's just a volume shooter. That's what happens when you shoot the most on your team. He went for 60 last night on 50 fucking shots.
Yeah, but it was a farewell game, a celebration game that doesn't mean anything. The guy's going to get his, and he's going to go out. So that makes perfect sense. I don't think that that's the great indictment of his career. But I do agree with you. I'm not, I just because it was his last game.
I just think
he was absolutely a compiler.
Yeah. I think it was indicative of his entire career. Like, that's how he's going out. That's what he did his entire career.
You know? I think it's interesting, you know, you can do a bigger arc theme on him, that he's a celebration of ego more than excellence. The same way, I mean, I don't want to draw parallels or, like, common, obvious things, but, I mean, the way Trump is a celebration of ego over performance or other things that seem to be popping up in culture, that seems to be a common trend where guy has a tremendous ego, so he must be the greatest ever.
Yeah, there's that. I don't know. Trump's performance is pretty.
He's a personality.
He's totally a personality.
You can't see him as a personality being attractive, regardless of politics, regardless of what he says. This arrogant archetypal Mr. Burns type billionaire.
Well, yeah, of course.
With a smidgen of that sort of downplayed dad charisma.
We're going to get off topic so quickly.
I'm just saying. Like,
all right, it's fine. But let's stay on the NBA.
It appeals to me the way that, like, Snickers bars don't appeal to me. But I understand why someone else might like them.
Fair. That's fair. I'll take M&M's. I want to rattle off a quick few thoughts about Kobe and his career, or mainly just last night. I think you should mention the point about. So I was listening to the starters, and Matt Austin had a really good point. He's the only one I've heard so far bring up the rape allegations, and he actually talked very thoughtfully about it. But you had a really good point about that the girls.
Oh, that she'll just be branded with Kobe Bryant for the rest of her life. Like, her life will be defined against his forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Regardless, and that he's so famous and so celebrated that she'll never be able to escape his presence on some level. Especially if he goes from this into media, which has been one of the rumors. And he's already been on TNT.
Yeah.
In a couple places trying to submit himself. So if he goes into media and becomes an analyst or anything like that, or has a media presence, he made documentaries about, I don't know, himself. So he must have some sort of L.A. dream of doing movies. Who knows? But I just feel terrible for her in that aspect. That, like, in a way, that moment will be the defining moment of a victim's life.
It's very important.
Which is super disturbing that never comes up. And that as a whole, like, basketball fans as a whole are so happy just to go along with that and continue that.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. Well, you know, the other thing is, like, and I hate to give too many props to the starters, but they did talk about it. It's really weird how this guy who's known for, well, I mean, he had the rape allegation, but then, like, there's so many people, 20,000 people celebrating him as, like,
a, you Who was know. There? Kanye was there. Some other jerk-off was there. There's another jerk-off.
Yeah.
Who was
there? Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Nicholson.
Nicholson, for me, gets a pass. He's been a Lakers fan for roughly fair. 2 years before the franchise started. Like, well, he's always been there. You know, since I still remember one of my first memories is watching Lakers Celtics. And, you know, the person that I recognized first as a kid was Jack Nicholson. I knew who he was. So, he's been there forever. He's basically built into the Staples Center.
But, you know, I guess it was probably a fun game. I watched part of it. I couldn't really take it. I had to go to sleep because I work.
I refused to watch the Lakers game. I didn't want to see Kobe celebrated. I had no interest in that. It's the same way I won't watch the beginning of the Super Bowl.
It's disgusting. It's pageant. It's like it's the most disgusting form of pageantry ever. Like, yeah. What the hell does our military have to do with a freaking sporting event? Oh, it's just all right. Don't get me.
keep it moving. Super negative rant.
I know.
This is what you get for doing it on.
I know. Sorry, and on Kobe. All right, real quick, a few thoughts, and then we'll move on. I just want to say Utah, obviously, by the time the game started, had nothing to play for. They didn't guard him. They let him go. Fine. It's an homage to his career. It's whatever. It's a, you know, not an homage, but it's they did him a justice by not really playing. It's fine. He looked, though. I did watch the highlights, and the dude, even though he went off for 60, watching him play at times, he looked like an old man. I was like, holy hell.
Athletically, he is.
Yeah, he looked really stiff.
He's been in the league since he was...
18 or 19. I think it was 17, honestly.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he came out of high school. Yeah.
I know he came out of high school. We'll have to look it up.
Let you have the power of the internet in the palm of your hand, my friend.
I don't really want to do it.
Yeah. Fair enough. The only other thing is, like, you know, I obviously hate him because he's from Philly. He shit on Philly's entire career. Anyway, I don't really have anything to base on that on except for the 2001 finals.
I think Kobe Bryant is I'm the same age as Kobe. Awesome.
Yeah, you're getting old. I want to see you on the basketball
court. Only a couple months.
All right, enough about Kobe. Another thing that happened last night was the Warriors went and won 73 games in a season. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about what? This isn't going to happen if I'm looking up stuff.
You're right. This is definitely a work night. How do you feel about this? The Warriors winning 73, going 73-9.
It's fantastic. I'm super happy for them. I really like. People keep saying that the tide's going to turn on him, on them. I hope they win the championship. To be honest with you, I have no ill will towards anybody on that team. I'm super glad that I can finally like root for someone that I like. You know, I could kind of get behind the Spurs when they were winning. You know, as much as I'm not a fan of that team directly, like I'm happy for their fan base. You know, San Francisco's had to put up with a ton of bad teams, even the Mullen teams with Nelly, Hardaway, Sprewell, Weber, Billy Owens, Chris Gatling. Chris Gatling, who I think had some weird legal trouble recently. It's worth looking into if you're bored at work.
Look it up.
Even those teams had no hope of going this far, and then just a dearth of terrible teams since then that I can't be anything but happy for them. And their team's super likable and super watchable.
It's true. They're one of the few championship contenders that I've ever watched that I have no ill feelings toward in any way. I'm very happy for them. I'm excited to see them possibly beat my
You've told me honestly though why you want them to win the championship this year.
Because I love Iguodala.
I don't think that's it.
Why?
I think there might be something like maybe dark at the core of it.
What? What did I tell you?
Because you want that Bulls team to get wiped off the map terms of the greatest team ever.
I'm just tired of hearing about the Bulls, man.
That's fine.
I'm tired of it.
Jordan was the greatest player ever, unless you don't remember Jordan. And Kobe was the greatest player ever, unless you don't remember Kobe. Right, so whoever, like Steph Curry, the kids who come up on Steph Curry, be like, Kobe wasn't that good.
Yeah. Well, Steph is definitely going to be the greatest for a time now.
Yeah. No, I think he'll be in the pantheon if he keeps it up, for sure. I think he'll be up there with Magic, Bird, Jordan, LeBron. I don't think Kobe's in that class.
No, personally. I agree.
That's not a personal thing. I think if you look at his career stats, even on averages, or you look at the makeup of the teams that won the championships, I don't think he ranks as having carried a team to a championship. And statistically, on the averages, I don't think he's up there either.
Didn't you say Deadspin wrote an article that said he's never been the best player? Kobe has never been.
He's never been
the best player
in any individual year that he's been in the league. This is Grant Hill. I didn't realize LeBron had it for 8 years straight. He was statistically the best player in the league, and Durant had it 1 year. But Kobe never had it. Jason Kidd beat him out 1 year.
Didn't I tell you that LeBron is going to be remembered like Jordan? I don't know. There.
I think he will be, but unless he wins more championships.
Well, right, obviously.
It's going to be hard for him to be in that conversation. It'll always default to the fact of him as a physical specimen, that he's the prototypical body for basketball. You know, but those arguments tend to default to championships.
Right. You're only as good as how many championships you got. Which is why,
I think so. But, you know, the appearances count. He's been there forever.
Always
showing up.
You know, and just to touch on the subject we talked about last week about LeBron being so great, I was thinking about this, and my argument about Kyrie and Kevin Love not being that good was that they've never taken their teams to a championship or to the playoffs even. And LeBron, every team you put him on, he takes...
Yeah, but you're putting them on LeBron's level, and I think that you're talking about 1% of 1% of 1%.
Right.
And I'll default and say that Love and Irving are in the 1% below LeBron.
Right.
Which still makes them insanely elite.
Well, yeah, but I'm... we're getting off topic.
I don't totally buy it because it was the Cavs wouldn't get to the playoffs without LeBron, and I think they still would.
With you minus LeBron from that team.
They weren't constantly firing their coaches. If there's any consistency in the game plan and they weren't just going out there and playing off LeBron constantly, if there was a game plan, I think that they would be fine going to the playoffs every year.
I question it.
I don't. Maybe he's hurting those players' development. Maybe Kevin Love was young and compiling in Minnesota because he wanted to get moved and go to a bigger market via his agent. But he can definitely ball, and I think that players mature, their games change. And the talent's absolutely there, and I think it's there in Kyrie, too, and that sometimes it's a matter of not just physical, but personal and emotional development, and maybe that's being stunted because they have to sit in the corner and wait for LeBron to give them the ball. I would make the argument that I hated the era of one-on-one basketball that we're finally over, but then again, I loved Iverson, and he was the king of one-on-one basketball.
True, he was. He really was.
Kobe was, too.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention... Steph Curry, 402 three-pointers in a season, which...
It's a lot of three-pointers.
That's way further... he beat his own record, the second highest. Now, happened this year, Klay Thompson set the record for... Oh, third. Set the record for third most three-pointers in a season.
Wow. That is on the same team.
Best shooters ever, I think.
Best
team of shooters. It's got to be, right?
I think they're up there. I think that's a hard thing to qualify, especially with rule changes over the years, technique over the years. They're definitely up there. I think that it's the, what do they call it, something of the moment, where you can only remember what's happening right now, especially with the internet, that whole line of bullshit. Like, there's been a lot of great shooters, that's all I'm going to say. The greatest ever is a bit much. Steph's definitely making a play for it. I don't know, maybe Klay is. It's hard for me to believe that just happenstance two of the two greatest shooters of all time are teammates. And there might not be something else going on.
Is it team or is it system? I mean, is it shooters or is it the players or the system? I know what I'm saying.
Or is it the math that exploited the rules that Stern changed in 2003?
Who knows?
They figured out that, there's these rule changes. Threes are more valuable. Let's take a ton of threes.
Well, but that's always been the case. I mean, it's been the case. It's just nobody utilized it.
And figuring out, though, also how to make threes more efficient over that time.
Right.
Figuring out all kinds of stuff, how to free guys up, different techniques. It's been over 10 years, so there's been probably a whole development in the system. I don't know. The comparative eras thing is also can be annoying in its own right, too, and then we just end up arguing, which is pointless.
I love arguing about arguing.
No, you don't.
Anyway, so we really wanted to get into playoff basketball because that's happening now. Best time of the year, right?
Yeah. This, for me, is when I start paying attention again after the post All-Star break, when I kind of go cold and start thinking about bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
Bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
But then I started thinking about basketball again right about this time. Because I love watching the first round of playoffs. I do wish it wasn't seven games. I've said this forever. I loved it when it was five.
I'm with you.
And I would take three games in the first round, which people think is absurd.
3-5-7.
I know advertising is ridiculous, but...
That has everything to do with it, obviously.
Making it an imperative to win. But I do love the first couple rounds of playoffs.
Well, in the same way that March Madness is so much freaking fun to watch because it's one and done, the NBA playoffs would be, I think, way more fun if the first round was three games. You'd have a lot more upsets.
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Which may not be great for the league. Actually, well, I think it would be better for the league.
One of the funnest series I ever watched was when Dikembe's Nuggets upset the Sonics in the 90s. Mm. I loved that series. Like, it was super fun. I watched every game of it. And that's when it was still a 5-game series, so an upset was still possible. 7-game series basically guarantees whoever was supposed to win the series is going to win the series.
It's almost always the case. Well, speaking of, I mean, I know what you're going to say, but what's the series you're most looking forward to?
I was just remembering the Warriors, Baron Davis Warriors upsetting Dirk's Mavs in the first round.
No.
Which totally proves my own argument wrong. But I do like those upsets. Anyway, what were you saying?
What's the matchup you're looking forward to most?
That would be my Trailblazers versus the Clippers.
Boom. Knew that was coming. Well, I don't blame you. It's going to be a great matchup.
Terry Stotts is, I'm not going to say Vulcan in terms of his emotions, but he doesn't react a lot. But you can tell watching the games against the Clippers, he genuinely dislikes Doc Rivers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Doc Rivers dislikes him back because he kept CJ McCollum out of the game by not signing off on the sort of gentleman's agreement.
Oh, that's right. There's that. Rosters. I forgot about that. Bad blood, buddy.
There was the celebrating. There was the Clippers players yelling at the Blazers players off the bench. There was Stotts, who I've never seen freak out.
Oh.
I think that's going to be a fiery one. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there were... I mean, I don't think the Blazers have players that fight.
I mean, I could see...
Paul grabs someone's dick again, I can see Chris Kamen going ape shit on him. He already grabbed Chris Kamen's dick. I think that the tolerance for that is so low at this point. And Kamen's basically a player coach, so you know he's going to be like, anybody hits Chris Paul, that would be fantastic. It's not Dame's job, but Dame did grow up in Oakland, and Chris Paul, I'm pretty sure, grew up middle class in North Carolina. So
there you go. I think that Portland just doesn't have enough seasoned, well, playoff experienced and playoff ready players. They're young, and they don't have, their talent is a little bit
less.
Are
you saying you doubt Big Game Dame?
No, I don't doubt him at all.
Did you watch the series with the Rockets?
Yes.
It's a pretty famous shot from that series.
Yes. I'm just saying that, like, in this series, you have to give the edge to the Clippers, man. I mean,
I don't think you're wrong. I would describe Portland as spunky.
Yeah.
Which is a funny word. Spunky.
Spunky.
Yeah. But I kind of know what you're going at, but I also think that they'll give them a run for their money.
Oh, I think
I think, one, Blake Griffin isn't up to 100% by any means the way he's playing. He's not up to his full level.
Mm-mm.
I think the matchups are better than they seem. I think Plumlee, because he's not a statistical beast in terms of scoring and certain stats, I think he's super underrated for how good he is. Watching him game to game, the guy can run, he can play, he plays kind of almost like a small forward who's gigantic.
Yeah,
he's not a great shooter, but I think I don't know if he's strong enough to match up with DeAndre in the post, but I also don't know that DeAndre's post is that great. He's a dunker,
and but he's super athletic.
If they want to body up, they have big bodies they can put in.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre's his defense is pretty good. He doesn't have to score. He's just a present. He'll deter players from coming in.
So I can even go out of position to position. Let's say Jamal Crawford, who's streaky, or J.J. Redick has a strong game.
Mm-hmm.
Their counterpoint would be McCollum, who can also just kind of score at will.
Right.
I do think Chris Paul is probably at least a headier player. I hate saying that than Dame at this point in their career, just being a veteran.
Right.
I don't think he's physically better than Dame Lillard playing.
Well, I think, you know, for sure that Chris Paul, I think, might be taking that turn on the down at this point in his career. And Lillard is just coming into his prime. So, physically...
I think that's an interesting matchup. I swear, I really think this hinges a lot on Blake Griffin and that they're going to have a bigger problem, the fire they've put under the Blazers' asses. That said, I think the Clippers are going to come out on top.
You think they're going to take the series?
The Clippers?
Oh, the Clippers. I'm sorry. I thought you said the Blazers for some reason.
No, I don't think there's any guarantee the Blazers will take the series at all.
No.
I wouldn't bet on it.
Don't get me wrong, I would love to see it. And if they happen to take the series, just by chance, like if some fluke, like they would upset, it would be awesome. They would go back to our not upsets thing. What do you think happens to the Clippers in the offseason? They blow it up? You think they make some trades? You think Griffin's gone? I think maybe.
I don't know if Griffin's gone or not. He's the most bankable star, and he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
I think that's overstated in terms of him punching a soon-to-be nobody in the face. Not to be derisive to a human being, but the way again, with back to Kobe's rape victim, the way the NBA works or star systems work is right. Rarely does the victim appear for long in public after they've been victimized.
Right, right, right.
And Blake Griffin, ton of commercials.
Ton of commercials.
He's bringing... Reed's really likable on a TV screen.
Yes, he does.
Even if he's not, like, I don't know if he is or not, but...
I don't know.
If he... I think that it's hard to get high-end talent in a league that's diluted like the NBA is. I don't know why you walk away from Blake Griffin if you're not getting equal value in return.
Right.
Are you defaulting to a build-against system? Like, were you rebuilding? Because...
No,
but I don't think Ballmer wants to do that after paying $2 billion.
But consider this. What if they went after somebody like Jimmy Butler? Trade Jimmy Butler for Blake Griffin. They both win, right?
Why?
Sort of.
Why do they both win?
Well, I mean, they obviously prove that they can win games without Blake Griffin. Sure. Blake Griffin is a superstar. You put him on the Bulls, they can start building around him. So. Maybe since Chris Paul, or since Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler don't obviously get along that well. I think it would be easier to put Blake Griffin with their... Well, anyway.
So here's my next question for you, like something like that.
Yeah.
What do you do with J.J. Redick and Jamal Crawford? Who replaces Blake Griffin at power forward? Do you move Jimmy Butler to the small forward position? What do you do with that giant gap in your front line?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. These are all... Well, I'm just saying.
That's the other thing, too, that I think that people don't consider is that Doc Rivers as a GM is shit.
Yeah.
That bench isn't deep at all.
Right.
He'll complain about Jamal Crawford, but it's been consistently the only bench he's had.
True. I think that I just feel like if they don't get out of the first round, I mean, even if they don't get out of the second round, like, they have to know that something's got to give. You're not going to get any further than this with the team you have.
I think if Blake Griffin comes around in the playoffs and starts looking like Blake Griffin, they'll be fine. They'll be totally fine. I think that they'll... I don't know, but I think they're going to have a hard time with the Trailblazers back to the first round matchup. Staying on top, and again, I think it's going to come down to Blake Griffin's play.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be a big part of it because the Blazers, with Myers Leonard hurt, don't have anybody at power forward who can match with them. I mean, Ed Davis, love him to death, but Blake Griffin on his game is going to have a hard time with Blake Griffin. But not on his game, might be a toss up. It might be a better series than people expect.
I'm hoping for a good series. I'm hoping for, like, I don't know, 6-7 games. If the Blazers take them to 6 games, 7 games, it would be a win for me. It would be a great matchup.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just gonna be fun because they don't like each other. They genuinely don't like each other, old school style.
That's nice. I like that. We don't have enough of that anymore. They're all friends. Totally, everybody's a friend.
Totally agree with you.
I'm gonna take a quick pause. I'll be right back. Well, sorry. I just realized that we were having a little bit of mic issues. So. My apologies. You should be able to hear a handsome Mike, the gentleman.
Enough mics.
Mike issues.
Mike check.
Yeah. Back to topics. That's obviously the matchup I'm looking forward to. Which one are you looking forward to? At least in the West.
Oh, in the West. What's the matchups in the West? Sorry, I'm such an East Coast homer.
You have Houston, Golden State.
I am looking forward to that, and the only reason I'm looking forward to that is because I want to watch Houston get mopped up by...
Of course you do. You want to get your hate on.
I want to get my hate on.
Why do you want Houston to lose so badly?
Because, here's the thing. Like, whatever you think of Houston's coach that got fired, help me
out. Kevin McHale.
Thank you. McHale, whatever you think of him as a coach, and I know you don't really think he's great... That's fine, but apparently he was really well-liked by the players, and I thought he did a really good job last year. Whatever you think of him, James Harden got his ass fired.
You think James Harden got his ass fired?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Because James Harden came into the season overweight and out of shape after the brilliant season.
Shaq did that shit all the time.
Yeah, but
he
Shaq
didn't get coaches
was,
fired.
Right, but Shaq was like... A wall. You couldn't move. It didn't matter if he was out of shape. He would play himself into shape. But it was also a different era. Like, you could do that then. You can't do that now. People are on their game, man. They're, like, playing 24-7 all year round.
You don't think it was Yoko Kardashian that got McHale fired?
I think it was.
Yoko Kardashian? I don't know their names, but if she broke up the band.
She broke up the band. That's that was going to be my point, too. Like, he hung out with a Kardashian. Those What I was going to say, things.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
These people are like, they're like basketball kryptonite. Look at.
You're talking about Armenians, right?
No.
Watch it easy.
Take it easy. I was just talking about Kardashians specifically.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Don't you do that to me. God damn it, Mike. Why did you...
Sorry, I got you off your train of thought. You're talking about how much you hate the Rockets.
Yeah. No, it's not that I hate the Rockets.
But you love Dwight Howard.
No, shut up. Dwight Howard was my new Kobe. You know this.
Didn't he want to replace the NBA? He came into the league saying he wanted to replace the NBA logo with the cross.
No, did he?
I think that was him. I'm not... Look, I'll have to look it up, but...
A cross with, like, 8 children around it?
Easy. You're full of hot takes on this issue.
anyway, I was just saying, no, I just think that, like, so they were a travesty this year. James Harden came in out of shape. He was awesome last year. This year, and I don't dislike the guy, but I think he came in out of shape. He got his coach fired. He was lazy. It just pisses me off that they were supposed to be way better than they are, and they're not.
I just don't like his game. It's not that I don't like James Harden. I actually think James Harden's totally fine and probably a likable guy. I just think that his game is super boring, and the Rockets are super boring to watch. Fair. It's drive, kick, drive, layup, drive, foul, drive, kick, drive, layup, drive, foul. Like,
yeah.
James Harden, like, just, it's the same thing over and over again. It just gets boring to watch. I don't know how anybody watches that team.
Also, he's a ball hog, apparently. Like, he just wants to take all the shots, yeah. Well, he is. I guess he would be, like, the new ISO player, right?
LeBron's very ISO.
LeBron is very ISO.
Especially when the game's on the line. Like, that hero ball thing is still very much there. There's three players I think of when I think of hero ball absolutely in the league that was beyond Kobe.
Good.
That want it so badly you can see that they want it and don't. It's LeBron, Harden, and Westbrook.
Oh, Westbrook for
sure.
They're
all very... They're good players. Don't get me wrong. Great players. But God, when they get going on the hero ball shit, it's just... I hate it because... I've seen him miss so many times, too. I get the psychology of it and wanting to be the man, but I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's the whole finishing the era of one-on-one basketball that I just don't like watching when it becomes hero ball.
Well, that's an interesting point of view, too, because, like, think about it. It's the last of the hero ball players, or probably not the last. There'll always be more.
Oh, that's going to go forever.
Yeah.
The ego of an athlete. There'll always be hero ball.
Up against, like, the pinnacle of the team,
right?
Like the Warriors, they're gonna mop the...
That's floor. Another thing I like about the Warriors too, staying on the positive, is that Steph Curry, I genuinely feel, is a star as a teammate,
yeah,
and not a star as is just for the sake of a commercial or the sake of being a star. Like, his teammates, I think, genuinely like him. He's engaged. He plays as a teammate. They understand their dynamics, their roles. It's not just like, I'm the best and you all need to recognize that. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. No, for sure. They play like a team. Like, they play like the Spurs. You know what I mean? But,
yeah.
But they're better
shooters.
I guess
shooters. It's kind of, you know, as a the death rattle of that sort of ball that Houston represents versus the sort of ball that Golden State represents. Like, seeing that dynamic, at least, maybe... is enough to keep that interesting, that matchup, if you're interested.
But, I mean, I think it's going to be a terrible series. I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I kind of want the Warriors to sweep them. I just think it would be fun. Let them get some rest. They did so much through this season. They stayed super healthy, and they...
I'll be honest with you, I probably won't watch one game of that series.
Probably not.
I don't...
What else have we got in the West? I'm sorry.
Let me see. I think Oklahoma City and Dallas and San Antonio, Memphis, right?
Yeah, so San Antonio, Memphis, I can't get into that. I'm sorry. I don't really want to watch Memphis get mopped up. I feel bad for them. They've had so many injuries. They're like a D-League team at this point. And I feel bad, you know. So I don't really have any interest in that series at all. But
I have a little interest. I like watching San Antonio play. I like getting maybe in a warm-up game or two because I know that they're going to make a run in the playoffs and be, you know, kind of reminding myself about what goes on. But I agree with you. It's not the most... I am a little more interested in Dallas, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I was going to say. Apparently, like, D. Will might... Oh, there's another good runner-up for my least favorite player.
Yeah, he's dislikable, but
super
he's
dislikable.
Been good in Dallas.
That's what I was going to say.
I've watched Dallas this year.
I've watched like two games. Okay, I'll state for the record, I've watched about two games of every team this season.
Yeah,
every time they play Philadelphia.
For one, Dallas has my boy Wes Matthews.
Yes,
who I love.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the only player, especially ex-Blazer, on that team that I love. But I do like the way they play together. I do like Carlisle as a coach. They yeah. play surprisingly well as a team, as a unified like group of veterans. It feels like a veteran squad, almost with all the injuries and cast offs they have on that team, and I enjoy that about them. And Oklahoma City, I have a lot of mixed feelings on. I've never been a big Billy Donovan. Is it Donovan or Donovan? I keep hearing it both ways.
I've heard Donovan. I don't know.
It's Donovan?
Donovan? We could look it up. We have the power of the internet.
I'm Donovan with the subject. I just, whatever. I didn't, anytime, I get suspicious anytime a college team is as successful for as long as any college team Billy Donovan's been in charge of. And then the coach jumps out. He had the Florida team with Joakim Noah and Al Horford, and Blazers drafted one of the guards from that team. So anyway, and I like watching Westbrook. Jeez, he's entertaining. He's got to be one of the most entertaining players to watch. He's so much so fun to watch. Fast. Yeah, he's just so fast. You ever heard him talk? I mean, you must have heard him talk. Yeah. He's on a ton of ads.
Yeah.
Does his voice strike you as weird? Am I the only person?
That's a little bit weird.
Like Mike Tyson-ish? Not to the level of Mike Tyson where that voice doesn't fit that body, but...
You know, I feel like we're going down the starters field here. They just did a couple weeks ago, they were like, who has the weirdest voices in the NBA?
I don't listen to that show, so I wouldn't know.
Fair enough. I think they did talk about Westbrook. I immediately went to Iguodala. I don't think
Does Iguodala have a weird voice?
It just doesn't match his body. Like, he's like a sort of a hulking dude, and he's like, hey, what's up, guys? I don't know. Anyway.
What about you for the Thunder and Dallas?
I'm
still love Kevin Durant to death,
by the way. Yeah, I love Kevin Durant.
I loved him when
he was a Sonic. You know what? While we're talking about the Thunder, though, I'm super happy for Kevin Durant that he's healthy. He had the same... And also, it gives me hope for the future of the Sixers because he had the same foot break that Joel Embiid had, and he got bone graft surgery, and he's killing it again. I think he's averaging, 27 points for his career, and he's kept it up this season coming back from a broken foot, man. That's
good for him. I'm happy. I hope he gets out of Oklahoma City.
Do you?
Honestly, I hope they all do.
I hope they
straight abandon ship on that town.
Yeah, I think they probably will. Not this year, though. I think it's going to be next.
To anybody who says that, you know, with the internet, a star is a star and the rest of that, that it's all equal, all things being equal, I don't think it's true at all.
I don't think
markets are equal at all.
Do you think there's any residual anger from them moving
Seattle? For me?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a Seattle fan. But
you grew up closer to...
No, that's fine. But I think that the issue with me, if I have any residual anger about it, is just that the NBA let it happen. That it was literally a straight up fuck you to the fans of the NBA.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I felt bad for Seattle fans. I didn't feel bad for my relationship with Seattle in any way.
Right.
It was just more, it was a double bird to people who, one of the longest franchises, and they did it over like... an arena over like small money issues.
It's
just because they were trying to essentially blackmail a city, and the city was smart enough to be like
fuck
nah.
You. Yeah.
We're like number 7 or number 8 market in the nation.
Yeah.
Enjoy, we're Oklahoma City. Have fun with your 900,000 people and an economy based on one thing.
But so for that, I would feel terrible if like they did abandon ship and then Oklahoma City has nothing. Once Durant and Westbrook are done, Oklahoma City is never going to have another fucking team. You're right. Market does matter. I don't care. I'm totally with you.
As a Portland fan, I feel it all the time.
Yeah.
Portland can't get free agents.
And Portland's and like that's a real super thing. Hip, super white city.
Yeah, it's true. Sorry. I was talking to someone the other day, and I was just like, this is the level you're at as a Portland fan, is that you read about all the free agents coming out. But your fantasies, like the top of your fantasy is like, maybe we could get Pekovic. Like that's what you're fantasizing about. You're not even worried about a Durant or someone else because you're like, they ain't
He's
fucking
never coming
they're
here.
Not coming here. But Pekovic wasn't that last year in February.
Well, and that's why, you know, that's honestly, that's why, like, for me, Portland is one of my favorite teams right now because they're growing their own guys and they got a really good.
It's the way they have to be smart about
it.
I still can't believe they got Plumlee. Honestly, they ripped the net so many times on trades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you value Plumlee more than most people, but you probably are right.
Watching him play, he was on Team USA.
Yeah. He's super freaking athletic.
He just doesn't... He's not a star in the way that people equate stats and stars.
Right.
But you watch him play, he's a hell of a basketball player.
He's just like a well-rounded...
Yeah,
player.
He is.
Does a lot of things well. Doesn't do anything.
I love Aminu. I like Harkless. But that team is basically three players.
Yeah.
It's Plumlee, McCollum, and Lillard.
Well, I think most championship contenders are three players. I think if, I'll tell you what, man, if Plumlee takes the next step, they could have something serious, you know?
Maybe. I don't even know that that's necessarily his style of game, but he's a good teammate. He's a Duke kid. He's a product of Duke. Not a great star. Good teammate, not a great star.
Like Jaleel? Oh, forget it anyway.
No, perfect example of the opposite. Yeah, he's just a bad teammate and a bad star.
And just a bad person. No, that's not, true.
That's not true. That's Why not would true you say that about your boy?
Whatever.
That's. Are you going to take down the poster of him you have in here?
Yeah, I might.
The fat head? Sixers. I'd love it if I walked in here and it's just full of Sixers fat heads.
That would be the best. You should buy me one.
All right, we'll do a bet on fucking the most ridiculous out of print fathead. I want Adam Morrison.
All right,
because I know they made one when he was with Gonzaga. They must have.
What's the bet?
We'll pick a series here. We'll find one.
All right,
something we disagree about.
Hold on. I'll tell you what. No, it's too early. It's too soon. Maybe by. How about by the what's the round before the championship? The conference finals. Well, maybe we should bet on the conference finals.
I think it's first round conference finals. No, conference semifinals, conference finals, yeah. and then finals.
Yeah. We should maybe get a conference finals bet.
So
what's it going to be?
I don't know. Let's just find a matchup we disagree about. It won't be that hard. I know you love the Rockets. I love Golden State. Let's do that one.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were talking about Dallas and...
We're talking about Dallas and Oklahoma City.
I mean, there's not much to say.
Have you walked? Yeah.
There's not much to say.
I am a little disappointed in Parsons. I thought he'd be better than he has been.
Hasn't he been battling injuries, though, a lot? And I think that's probably
that's
the problem.
A big part of it.
I think that's a huge part of it. But yeah, I mean, he's been not quite everything they hoped he would be when they got him. But I don't think he's been bad. Plus, he's really good looking.
Good point. Don't ever do that again.
And Dirk, all right, do you think it's going to be his last season? You think he retires?
I watched that game when he had 40 points. That was one of the handful of games I watched. So in my mind, Dirk's still really
good.
Yeah, I'm just like, Dirk's amazing still.
One time this year, put up.
I hope he retires with his 1.5 championships.
Yeah, he should have had that first one.
Yeah, no, it was taken away from him.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching that.
Well, who had money on what? But.
I remember watching that series when I was in grad school and we were all out at a bar. Like, this semester had just ended. We're all drunk at a bar watching that. And, like, man, the officials just completely changed the entire series.
Look up Dwayne Wade foul numbers from that series if you want to know.
I know. We were all complaining about it in the moment while we're drunk. We're like, that is bullshit.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, some of the guys we were with were from Florida, and one of them or two of them were from Dallas, and we're like, they're going back and forth. I'm from Philly. I'm like, fuck you both. I'm just loving this. Anyway.
All right, do you want to go east?
Let's do east. So let me talk about one that I really am looking forward to, and I hate to say this because I don't like either one of these teams. I mean, all right. I'm a fan of the NBA. I'm a fan of good basketball. I'm a fan of all teams. I don't really genuinely hate...
Who are your enemies?
Atlanta and Boston. I fucking hate Boston. Atlanta I don't give two shits about.
But I've kind of come to hate Boston. I didn't used to hate Boston at all.
Yeah.
I watched the Larry Bird teams at the end of his career. I remember watching him laying on the floor wearing ice packs. I watched the bad years, the D. Brown years. I don't know. But recently I've kind of come around mostly because of all the championships Boston has won. The Patriots fans.
That's part of my hate.
The Bruins fans.
That's part of my... You know what? I guess it's just Bill Simmons.
The Red Sox fans.
I just hate Boston because of Bill Simmons.
It's not Bill Simmons for me. Just Boston fans. Obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, you know, living in New York, I would say, because people would say that about New York fans, but I really think it's just Yankees fans here. Yankees fans are fucking obnoxious. Even at Yankees games.
Yeah.
I've been to quite a few Yankees games. I like going in the summertime, but after the new stadium came up, I stopped going hardly at all.
Stadium's not nearly as good, right?
It just doesn't feel great to me. I don't know. It feels like a mall that they play baseball in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is what a lot of them do. But
it kind
of
looks like
fans,
it too.
All the Boston fans I've ever met, so fucking obnoxious.
Well, here's a weird thing. Like when...
And that's not a hot take because most of America thinks that.
That's true.
So if you disagree with that, you're probably wrong because I'm pretty sure.
You probably live in Boston.
Yes.
Here's the thing. When they had Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and they were winning, I really liked that team. I was rooting for Boston.
I haven't learned how much I dislike Doc Rivers yet.
Yeah, exactly. There's that too. Mbutu, wasn't it? Mbutu, whatever it was. The chance when they won the championship. Mbutu or... I forget it. Mm-hmm. Somebody that listens to this.
I know I won a lot of money on that series, though.
It was a good series. I was rooting for them to beat the Lakers again because I absolutely do not like the Lakers. Anyway, so after they lost their stars and they ripped off Brooklyn for all their picks and blah, 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 blah. The reason I can't stand Boston at this point is because of all the national media raving about how smart their GM is and how they've done. Oh,
this is
so
bitter
because
Sam Hinkie got fired.
They've done so great. Hinkie was just as good. And they've done, no, it's not. They just took a different path, but like, everybody's like, oh, they're building the right way.
You mean they did it the right way.
They're building the right
way. They took a different
path. Oh, they're building the right way when they had four draft picks last year and they couldn't give a fucking one away to get a single player. What do they have now? They have a middling team that's going to be out in the first round of the playoffs for the second year in a row.
Why do you think they're going to be out? You don't think they'll beat Atlanta?
I don't know, but it's going to be a good series. It's going to be a good series,
and I think Boston can beat Atlanta.
I was going to say, if there's one upset, I think it might be Boston over Atlanta.
I think Atlanta's cracks showed when they started shopping Horford and Teague. Or, I'm sorry, Atlanta's crack showed when they started shopping Horford and Teague.
Okay.
Did I say Boston?
No. I just was thinking
you gave me the weirdest look, like I had said something wrong. Am I speaking English still?
I think I had a joke. And
no
I'm just
habla
like,
espanol with that look. Yeah. I think Boston could totally take Atlanta.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Atlanta... Well, they both have good coaches. Let's talk about... I like going down matchups.
Line, let's do the matchup. Let's pull up the rosters. I have them both there. All right, here we go.
You can
here
go for it, but I can do it. So, let's say... where are we going? Teague is the starting point guard for the Hawks.
Yeah, Teague's good. I watched him play the other night. Watched him play the Cavs the other night. He had this really nice crossover on LeBron. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's also a hell of a defender. He doesn't get credit for what a good defender he is, the way they shopped him. And then the backup's what, Dennis Schroeder?
Yes, I love Schroeder. Schroeder.
Schroeder.
I can't say it.
Against Marcus Smart and I'm doing this off the top of my head. That's right, why I'm positive. And Isaiah Thomas.
All right. Somehow we lost the...
That's fine. It's Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Avery Bradley, shooting guard. Jay Crowder, small forward. Sullinger, Zeller.
Yeah, that's
Tyler
a good,
Zeller.
What happened to James Young? Is he playing at all?
I don't know.
I know they drafted last year, I guess, right? And I thought he was going to be good, but I think he's just riding the pine. Anyway. Yeah, take a look. But I think it's going to be a. I think it's going to be a good matchup. I think they match up fairly well, and I think Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach.
Looking at this,
I think they're both really good.
Looking
coaches.
At this, you say they're middling, but they're super deep.
Like super deep with middling players. They're right. Super deep with average players. They have nobody that's ever going to take them.
If you
over
have
the top.
two starting lineups, essentially,
right?
Not great starting lineups, but you have two starting lineups.
That's fine, and I think that's why they're in the playoffs and why they finished fifth. In the East.
Do you know what I do love about Boston?
What do you love?
I love how fat Jared Sullinger is.
Jared Sullinger.
I've always loved fat players in the NBA because it blows my mind to watch them play.
Big Baby?
I saw him play preseason at Barclays against the Nets.
Oh, yeah.
And I literally was so astounded by how fat he was that I didn't even recognize it as being Jared Sullinger. I thought it was someone trying to make the roster. I was like, who is that fatty and how did he get on the court? And it's not like I was like, oh, right away. It took a while. I kept looking up and I was like, Sullinger's supposed to be on the floor. Where's Sullinger? That fat guy's still on the floor.
Fat guy's like, in the way. I can't play Sullinger.
He couldn't make the connection.
Hey, fatty, move!
I felt like it was almost an entire quarter before I was like, Jesus Christ!
Oh my God. That's pretty bad.
He's really fat.
Doesn't he have just like a giant ass? Like his ass is like...
I don't know. I don't spend my time looking at people's asses.
All right, here. Whatever, man.
He's a gigantic human being, though. And he must be athletic as hell to be that big and play in the NBA.
That always blew my mind about Big Baby, man. That guy is like... He should not be able to move like that.
Charles Barkley always said... Oliver Miller was one of the greatest, would be the greatest player in the NBA if he just lost weight. He said he was one of the greatest players he ever saw, and if he could lose that fat, if he could lose weight, he was just like perennial all-star when he played with him on the Suns.
Malone said the same thing about Barkley. I'm just saying, he did, and then he lost weight, but I'm sorry, I'm just...
When did Karl Malone say that about Charles Barkley? When they were in college?
Karl? Yeah, Karl Malone said it. Moses?
Moses Malone?
Yeah, took Barkley under his wing when he came in. He's like, you need to lose weight.
Karl Malone and Charles Barkley were roommates in college.
Moses Malone.
Camps. I know. I'm telling you, though, the other two, I'm going deeper than you. You're throwing out Moses Malone like I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to next level deep on
next
you.
Next level shit.
That at USA Basketball, Karl Malone and Charles Barkley were roommates. That's why I thought Karl Malone.
Oh, all right. I get you.
Not,
I got you.
I was like, wait, didn't know they play one in the played same for the Jazz and one played for the Sixers.
I know, but you're like, you're stupefied. Anyway.
I did not know where that was coming from.
By the way, I just want to say that Evan Turner is going to get a hell of a payday this offseason.
He's good. I know you hate him.
He's not bad. But here's my thing. I think he should stay with Boston. He's going to be better for that team than he will be anywhere else. He has a role there.
Sure.
He excels in that role there. He needs to stay there because he's good on Boston.
You care so much about Evan Turner.
I get so mad about Evan Turner. I'm so... Like, I just wanted him to be great. He was the second overall pick. He was a knucklehead. He's whatever. He ran out of gas on the highway two times, and Instagrammed them. Who does that? Evan Turner. Anyway, moving on.
No, he's actually a very good basketball player. Again, he's not the star he was supposed to be, and that'll always be held against him. This is from a little bit of critical distance, not being a Sixers fan.
That's true.
And being all angry.
Well, no one should be a Sixers fan, I'm just saying.
Doug Collins.
Oh, God, don't
even. Sorry, speak of the devil.
I know. That's worse than Jerry Colangelo.
But I think he's a very functional NBA player.
He's a good NBA player. He's found his role. He's understanding what he does well, and he's excelling at it, and I think that's great. I think it has a lot to do with their coach. I think it has a lot to do with, like, you know.
See, this is also one of the reasons Brad Stevens is really smart, is because even a player-to-player comparison, which I keep trying to go through in my head, is that I've watched several Boston games and seen a ton of different players start. Like, Avery Bradley's pretty consistent. Sullinger's pretty consistent, but not always. He's mixed it up that I think that makes them a hard matchup.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know which players to match up against where. I can look at this and look at, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players, two full rotations who are always on the court.
I was just going to say that's interesting and all, but you're just counting on
No, I know. I had to look, though. Like, I know, I'm kidding. 10 players that are continually in the rotation, like, how do you game plan for that? Think of how many different looks they can give you on the floor.
A lot. They can give you a lot of looks. Like blue steel. Sorry.
Don't do that.
We might have to edit that out.
No,
leave it. Leave it so everybody knows what an idiot I am.
Terrible.
Dad jokes.
So against the Hawks.
The Hawks.
Korver, by the way, hyper underrated.
No, he's not.
As a defender. You should let me finish my sentences. he's secretly a very good defender.
Yeah, I don't think he's bad. I really liked him when he was with the Sixers.
Did you watch him when he was with the Sixers?
Yeah, I watched him when he was with the Sixers.
Why do you keep looking at me like that? Like, I don't know. You're expecting some sort of reaction.
Because everything I say is about the Sixers. I just want you to react to that.
Oh, is that where you're going with it?
No, that's where I was going with it. Yeah, I just thought you would have something to say. Of course you watched him when he was with the Sixers.
Again, this is just, it's a good team.
It's a good team. They're both good teams. I think it's going to be a great matchup. That's it's going to be a lot fun of fun. Matchup. That will be one that I'm tuning in for regularly.
Millsap. Yeah, Bazemore, who I love.
Oh, Bazemore, I want on the Sixers next year. I'm just saying. He's going to get paid. He's only 26. I want him.
He should get paid.
He's great. Did you watch him? Yeah, it was 2 nights ago, I think. He just like was killing him with the threes. I think he hit 3 in a row or something. I
forgot Tiago Splitter was on this team.
Tiago Splitter.
Did you see Mike Muscala rap?
No. Should we have that as our opening music?
A huge mistake. Can't believe he went on national television and rapped.
Wait, what? On what?
Just look it up. It's probably on the web.
Oh,
it's really terrible.
I don't pay enough attention to the web, I guess.
Other matchups in the East. I'm really looking forward to Cleveland-Detroit. I think that's going to be more of a series than people give it credit for.
That was going to be my next pick, too.
Mostly because I think that Stan Van Gundy is a better coach than no coach at all.
Who's no coach at all?
Tyronn Lue and LeBron James.
But, you know, we should just play... What's that 6 degrees of separation with like the Kevin Bacon thing? I can do that with the Sixers. Tyronn Lue.
Yeah,
Iverson stepped over him in 2008.
Yeah. Okay, just come on. Going, stop come on. Going back to the Sixers.
Can't help it. I got to throw him in a little bit.
I think that that's going to be a really good matchup. I think Cleveland's going to have a hard time with Detroit in the first round. And I think they're going to have a hard time in the second round of whoever wins Boston, Atlanta. And then I think they're going to have a hard time in the next round, which I think is either going to be, well, it could be any of those teams. I just think Cleveland's going to have a hard time in the East and then just probably get stomped.
Yeah, I think they're going to get stomped. I don't know if they're going to have a hard time. I don't think it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park, but I don't...
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a walk like it has been in past seasons.
Yeah. The East is somewhat better this year.
I think it's definitely better this year.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Charlotte's as good as they are.
I got to be honest. I'm a little bit surprised by Boston being as good as they are.
I am a little bit, yeah. I think it's a testament to Brad Stevens. I think he's a good coach. I think he's super smart. And I actually really like the way I was just counting. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wait. Did you hear 6?
No.
Okay.
10. The fact that he uses 10 players actively in regular minutes, I think is super smart. I think it's one of the big problems. Enough coaches don't go into their rosters.
I agree. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. You can't go more than like...
Why not?
10, you can't go more than 9 players deep on a playoff. I mean, it just doesn't work. I guess maybe he's getting them to do it. I don't know.
But it doesn't work?
That's what I've heard. What do I know? That's what I heard. That's
only 5 players for 48 minutes. You can only use
5 players a game.
For 48 minutes. An 8-man rotation.
Play them all. They'll all be injured by the end of this game.
Well, maybe it stops you from your coach getting fired, David Blatt.
Yeah, well.
Do you have any thoughts on Miami versus Charlotte?
Miami versus Charlotte. Do I have any thoughts? I'm just going to repeat things you say. I do have some thoughts. I think that it was a really good move for them to bring Hassan Whiteside off the bench. Who's starting in place now?
In Whiteside's place?
Yeah, I have it right there.
Yeah, I have it pulled up, and you're about to grab this thing and like touch it.
I already had a tablet.
You can edit this part out as you're grabbing it, as I'm trying to read.
Whatever.
Go back and ask me the question again.
Hey, Mike, who's starting in place of Hassan Whiteside?
I think it's Stoudemire.
Oh, yeah.
I think Stoudemire has gotten that. Wow, I don't have a lot to say about the Miami Heat. I saw Josh Richardson dunk. I forgot Joe Johnson's on this team.
Joe Johnson is now on this team, that's right.
He's going to limp his way into it. I like this team in the preseason. I liked him a lot. I know Amin El-Hassan had them going to the finals over the Cavs, which now seems super ridiculous, and one of the reasons you shouldn't make predictions because people will remember that shit.
I can't wait to predict next season.
I did like this. I don't think Goran Dragic has ever been a good fit on this team.
No.
It still seems kind of awkward to me. I love Justice Winslow. Dwayne Wade's old.
That's true. But he's still killing it somehow.
Yeah. Drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Drugs. German platelet treatments. And other abstracts.
What the? I think that... but I think he's like sort of developed his post-game, oddly enough. For being, 6'5", and, like, he's just kind of like a, he's like a bowling ball down there, man. He just, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got some serious, really nice moves.
Yeah. He's athletic as hell. I think that
not as much as he was.
This season, though, it's kind of validated Spoelstra to me in a way that Spoelstra was never validated to me as a coach. Yeah. I always thought that Spoelstra was just kind of a placeholder the way that Rambis is a placeholder for Phil Jackson.
Oh, God.
That said, Spoelstra's from Portland. I just think that... This season at 48-34, you have to give him respect with this roster.
For sure. I think he did a really good job last year, too.
Especially with Bosch. What happened to
Bosch? Is Chris Bosch coming back?
I don't think so. From what I've heard, like, that's going to be a done deal.
Yeah, he's done for his career.
I don't know.
Which is sad because technology is. Like, I never thought he was the greatest player in the world, but I always thought that he was a really good fucking player.
Oh, me too. I think he's fantastic. Again,
I also think he's a super nice guy and, like, I feel bad when nice guys have shitty things happen to them. Like, you know, their heart might die.
Well, it's blood clots. Stroke. Oh, yeah. He could have a stroke at any moment. Stroke.
Whatever.
But he... yeah, I also think, though, that one of the problems is that he got to the finals on a LeBron team. And the same thing with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving is that he probably was the one who got marginalized. Someone pointed out that LeBron somehow on all the teams he's been on, he loves making the power forward the whipping boy. Whether it's Chris Bosh or Kevin Love or, like, you're the one guy who's going to get marginalized.
Oh, that's a good point.
I hadn't actually put that together before. That's not my thought. I don't remember who said that.
Well, that was a nice thought, whoever said it.
Against Charlotte, the Jordan-owned team run by Steve Clifford. Steve Clifford kind of looks like a dog to me. I don't mean like, is it the like, name? Like one of my dogs. I mean like literally a dog. Oh yeah, Clifford.
Is it just because of his name?
No, he kind of looks like an English bulldog. He's named Clifford.
Childhood Association.
Holy shit. You just put it together for me.
Thanks, that's why I'm here.
So the team of 7 foot white guys versus the Heat.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that I honestly think that's also going to be a pretty decent matchup. Although I think Miami's going to walk away with it fairly easily.
Do you?
Yeah, I kind of think Miami's got that one.
I do think Steve Clifford's a very good coach. I think Kemba Walker in their backcourt is pretty nice. Courtney Lee's a great defender. Spencer Hawes, the greatest shooter of all time. I just wanted to bring up an ex-Sixer so you could get upset.
Excuse me, I'm going to go puke for a second. You know what the worst thing about Spencer Hawes is? I'm going to tell you right now. What? His hair. Ugh. I hate his hair. Him and Jeremy, they should just be the bad hair team.
They pretty much are. You don't have to do that.
The bad hair team, man.
Dennis Schroeder could be on that team. Oh, you like
Schroeder? I like his hair.
You like Schroeder's hair?
I do like his hair, yeah.
He was ahead on the bleaching, the part of the fro thing.
Yeah.
Well, he did that first where it's just a part of it.
I wasn't sure if that was actually bleach or if it was just like a skunk patch in his hair that just doesn't... Not
a perfectly round skunk patch?
Is it perfectly round? Usually gray? Yeah, they're usually white.
I think we're off topic. Yeah, that looked bleached to me.
How is this off topic? How? Ugh.
Frank Kaminsky, Rookie of the Year. Paul Clark's Rookie of the Year. Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah, I mean, he gets some minutes, right?
He does. He plays backup.
What's his numbers like? Take a look.
I don't know.
I think that he...
I don't know. Yeah, I know he plays off the bench. My guess is 20 minutes off the bench.
Let's take a look. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into Frank Kaminsky.
By looking it up on the internet. This is dead air.
Here's his totals. What's he... Here. Per 36 minutes. Give me his per 36. Come on, Mike. You can do this. I don't know how to read basketball 13 reference.
Points a game.
13 points a game? For 36?
Yeah, that seems low to me. I thought he was doing better than that.
No, I don't think so.
I wasn't a big believer in Frank the Tank. I thought Decker was the player off that Wisconsin team. I stand by it. Decker got pushed back into the Rockets bench. Well, I thought that Kaminsky had problems with more athletic, same-sized forwards. But Decker could ball.
You know what my problem with Kaminsky is? He's got a really long face. I'm like, why the long face, man?
Frank Kaminsky walks into a bar. Is that what you're going with that?
Exactly. He's just got a long face. He looks sad all the time. I don't know. I didn't understand the hype coming out. I didn't think he was a bad player. I think he's kind of a workman, and I think he's got a great mentality. And I think he could be like decent, but I never understood the...
Forever I resented the Miami Heat because they stole the Blazers color scheme and also the whole fire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, so I didn't think they were a real team. Also, they were created within my lifetime. So I was like, they're not legitimate. Yeah. But then they won a championship, and that kind of legitimizes a team.
Yes.
The Hornets, to me, in my mind, are still not a real team. They're a pretend team.
They're a pretend team that was brought back.
Yeah, that was just let go and then brought back. At least the team's not called the Bobcats anymore.
That's true. That was a terrible name. Oh, somebody was ragging on the Pelicans the other day about...
I like the Pelicans.
I do, too. I kind of like that name. I mean, the team, you know, whatever, has its problems. But I like the name. I don't know why. I didn't think it was going to grow on me, but it super did.
Marvin Williams playing for a contract, having a nice little year.
Yeah. I read something earlier about, like, Marvin Williams' contract year. Finally, he's doing well.
Oh, man, this dude... I thought he was going to be great coming out of North Carolina. I don't even have to look this stuff up.
Stop looking this stuff up. It's too much dinner.
I agree with you.
Anyway, so that's... So you want to talk anymore about the playoffs?
No.
Sorry, folks. For anyone who's listening, it is a Thursday night. We both worked long, hard.
Yeah, but we didn't even get into Toronto, Indiana.
Oh, Toronto, Indiana. Let's...
George Hill's hair versus an entire nation of Canada.
I want to see George Hill's hair versus Jeremy Lin's hair and Spencer Hawes' hair. Can we have the second round matchup?
You're not into that.
Nah.
Toronto is supposedly good. Still don't think they're a real team. Also, isn't a bird a raptor too? Couldn't they just be a bird? Why is it gotta be a fucking dinosaur? Like, just run with the bird thing. Abandon the dinosaur thing already. Obviously, 2 million Canadian 12-year-olds voted on your logo.
Didn't they create the team the same time that fucking Jurassic Park came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
12-year-olds vote on this shit. And now they're a dinosaur forever. They could just change it to a bird.
It could be a bird.
It would be so much better to me.
It would be better. God, it really would be better.
I hate the idea of a dinosaur. The Pacers.
Yeah. Pacers. Paul George.
Or, what do you... Come on, dude. Pacers. Why don't you ask me the questions?
Let me ask you. How do you feel about the Pacers?
They're stupid.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
No, I don't like the Pacers. I didn't like Reggie Miller. I've never liked the Pacers. I like Paul George a lot. But I just, you know, when Roy Hibbert was on that team, the most exciting thing to happen was when he blocked that Melo dunk, which I loved to death. Do you remember that play? Melo was playing hero ball
in
the playoffs.
As he do.
Went to go win the game with a dunk. Forgot that Roy Hibbert's 7'2". And Roy Hibbert was like, yeah, I'm fucking 7'2". Like, don't try to dunk over me.
Stop being an asshole. I'm right here. I loved it. That's cool.
But since Roy Hibbert's no longer on the team, they're more entertaining. Paul George's leg is back in order.
You know, there's another one. Good for Paul George, man. Super happy that he's back and healthy. Yeah. That's awesome. When I saw that, and look, we don't even need to talk about it. But
dude, I was watching the game. I texted it to you as soon as it happened.
I thought I was watching it live. Maybe you did text
anybody it to me. Was, because I remember I was texting it out because I was unemployed at the time. Oh. And so I was watching the international games.
Yeah, I don't know. What time of day did it happen?
It was midday. I was in the Northwest at the time.
Oh, that's right. I was probably at work. All right, so there you go. So you texted it to me. That was gruesome. Mm-hmm. But let's never talk about that again. But Paul George is back and healthy, and I think if he had a better team around him, which he might in the offseason, I don't know, they'd be a force. I didn't think they'd get to the playoffs this year, so congratulations to them.
I think they have a better coach than Toronto.
But
I think if it comes down to that, I think that might be an issue. I think Toronto is going to win this series. I think they're probably going to win the series in 6 games, if I had to guess. Might go to 7, but I wouldn't be 100% shocked if Frank Vogel doesn't pull out some tricks and gets shocked. Also, he's got Larry Bird's basketball mind. I'm not going to praise him the way like Bill Simmons basically just creams his pants over him. But his basketball mind is amazing, and he's got him as his backup. He's got him up there in the stands. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave the Raptors fits.
Yeah, I agree with the coach. I think that, oh my God, What's-His-Face is a better coach than the other What's-His-Face. I think it's I gotta edit this part out.
You're gonna edit a lot out of this one. We might as well call it.
We're gonna be down to like 20 minutes. oh my God. You know what? Maybe I'll just leave it in and let it go. Let it roll.
Who's the coach?
Frank Vogel.
No, I know that. I already said Frank Vogel. I can't remember the name.
That's
of the
one I was coach. Trying to think of. Raptors coach is oh my God. The other guy. I can see his face. I can't think of his name.
So can I.
So the other guy is a good coach, too. I think the Raptors have a good team. I think they're going to win on talent. If you had...
the guy's a good coach, too. Where are you going with this?
I don't know.
You sound super knowledgeable.
All right. So anyway, it's maybe this is the time of night we wrap it up.
What time is it?
All right. It's like 10 o'clock.
It's probably fine.
Jesus Christ. Well, anyways, if anyone ever listens to this podcast, thanks for listening, and it's been a good time. I hope you've enjoyed some nonsensical talk, and next time, I hope, we'll be more on our game. It's just been a long week, so forgive us for our silliness, but if you guys want to tweet at us, you can tweet at Mike at HammerToeShark. If you want to tweet at me, it's at Joe Borelli, and if you guys want to download the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, we're on there, please leave a review. Or rate us, because it'll help us get found by other people. Not that I really care, but I feel like I have to say it. Anyway, it's been real. Mike, I'll see you later.
Bye.